disagreements. But if we allow God to teach us to fight fair, we want to protect our relationships from destruction. And if we allow God to teach us to fight fair, we'll open up the floodgates of God's blessings. And I'm all for that. How about you? We need some marriage makeovers in the house, right? We need God to, God, don't lift your hand from my marriage. I need a new marriage. Give me a good amen. You're not going to get married to a new person. She's going to be new, right? He's going to be new. Amen. He won't be that bump on the log for long, right, everybody? And so thank God for fighting fair. We've learned about, number one, last week we learned about pursuing God, right? That if we seek God, we seek the one, we can also seek him with our two. And if you're single in this place, you got to seek the one and he'll bring you your two, right? But there's nothing better in this season that you guys are in high school, college. You're too young, by the way, to be in high and get married in high school, right? We want you to go to college, amen, get that degree, amen, then get married, right? All mamas say amen and all dads say amen, right? Yeah, and they were here for the first service, some of them. Now they're serving in our second service, in our children's ministry. And so I'm dealing with today, we're going to talk about fighting fair and have fun. Number three is the third one. Somebody say have fun.
Have fun.
There's nothing like romance. There's nothing like keeping the fires alive in your marriage, and we need that. And so we don't want to reduce marriage to like this business relationship, and we just stay together for the kids. So we're going to discover God's true design of intimacy for marriage next week. Again, if your child is 12 and under, we want to make sure, especially for this service, that they're in our children's ministry. And if they're not, if they're in high school, they probably need to be in here, middle school especially, 12 and up, and that'll be a blessing today, right, everybody? By the way, if you have great date ideas for me, I'll read those at the beginning. I can give you credit if you want. You can put those and give me credit. You want to send me a text, many of you have my phone. I'm going to open myself up to that. You can, hey, this is a great date night idea. Love you, a lot of you love to text. Just send those to me. And those on social media, you can send those at info@livingfaithsa.org. Go to our website, and it gives you a portal to do that also, right, everybody? So give me those ideas, and I'll read them if you want me to do that publicly next week. Number four, stay pure. Somebody shout, stay pure.
Stay pure.
Number five,
never give up,
right? And so we'll end with that and conclude, and that'll take us right to 5 weeks in our relationship series. I found two bonus verses that are not in your handout about relationships, and this is for all the men. So all the men, you got to help me out. Can I hear your bark? One guy. Come on, all the men, join that one guy that barked. How about a grunt? How about a pounding of the chest? Okay, yeah, we're animals. We can do that, right? This is in the Man Bible, Proverbs 27:15. If you had the Man Bible, this would be highlighted. It says this. Why don't all the men read it out loud, out strong? Come on, you can be brave. You're in church. You're not at your house. Okay? She's not telling you how to drive today. On three, all the men of God, you're going to help me. One, two, three, go. A quarrelsome wife, a constant dripping. Nag, nag, drip, 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 drip. And it's a nagging thing. And that's a quarrelsome wife. We don't have those in this church, right? You're not allowed to come. Ladies, I got something for you. You know, I don't want you to hold back on the offering today at the end of the service. So I got a verse. So you can say, hey, I'm going to bless Pastor because he brought that. So let's look at the verse for you ladies here today. Ladies, on three, you're going to say it with Sister Irma on three. Ladies, come on, say it out loud. You can beat the guys today on three. One, two, three, go. Second Nava 4:2. Yeah. Now, that's not in the Bible, but it could be. In my version, right? In Irma's version, right? How many of you have had a fight with someone that's, you look back on it, man, it was so insignificant. It was stupid that we fought. Anybody? Just brave. Yeah, I have. Yeah, it didn't necessarily have to be with your wife either or your girlfriend today, but you just had a fight. Amen. How many had a fight on the way to church? Anybody? Okay, one guy raised his hand and he came by himself, so that was interesting. I fought by himself. The famous one that the Navas have, that Irma and I have in the history of our marriages, right at the very beginning, and she reminds my kids about the way I was when I was first married. And maybe I've gotten a little bit better, but when we were first married, you know, we were learning how to cook, and, you know, the novice come from this history of cooks, man. My dad was a cook in the Air Force and cooked in Vietnam for the troops, and my mom, how many Mexican mamas just know how to cook, right? So I came up like that, you know, and just, you know, so Irma makes me like one of the first meals, and it was like this little steak thing, but I think she forgot to beat it because it was still like, it didn't move, but it was just, you know, it was kind of tough to eat, and I was so hungry that day. I hadn't eaten, like, I think the 21-day fast, you know, I was just hungry, man. I was hangry. I was angry by being so hungry. And so I got home, and that little lady had everything ready for me, but I just couldn't eat the steak, and I got so upset with her about that hard beef jerky meat that I was trying to eat and chewing it, and I said, I'm going to Bill Miller's. That's why you got to come to Living Faith and be here. It's a lot funner. And so, you know, Bill Miller's is right there by our apartment that we got, that first little apartment that we got in Northwest Military Highway. And Bill Miller's was like walking distance. So I was so mad. I didn't want to drive because I thought I'd get in an accident. And it was right next door anyway, Bill Miller. So I walked over to Bill Miller's. I ate a poor boy. Thank you, Jesus, for the poor boys. But you know what happened to me? I was a poor boy when I got home. And I think I was in purgatory like for 5 days, amen. Somebody prayed me out of there. And now she's the best cook in the whole world. Thank you, Jesus, right? Amen. Yeah, amen. All couples fight. I was in that church that I thought, man, my pastor certainly doesn't fight. He's so holy. Him and his wife, look, man. And I thought they didn't fight. And we tore that stereotype down. Everybody fights in this church, amen, not at church. Well, sometimes we do fight in this church, right? But we fight with each other. And you know what healthy couples do? They fight clean. Unhealthy couples fight dirty. That's a low blow, amen. Healthy couples fight towards resolution and redemption because God's all about redemption and relationship, right? Unhealthy couples, they press towards the victory. I'm going to win. It's my way, you know, or the highway. John Gottman, a marriage guru, he studied couples for 16 years. He took couple A, couple B. He studied these couples. 16 years he studied them. And what he found out was within 5 minutes of the argument that these couples would have, 5 minutes of them arguing, he determined with a 91% accuracy if those couples were going to stay together or they were going to get divorced by the way that they argued. And he proved really, he said, it's not if they fight, it's how they fight. It's not if, because we're all going to fight. Amen. Y'all are like so Presbyterian today. Maybe that awesome worship service we had, right, made us so holy in this place. But it's how you fight. There are rules for engagement that God showed us in his word. And he lays out so much principle in his word. And I want to offer hope today in Jesus, right? I want to offer hope through the word of God to everyone in this room that you say, my marriage shouldn't be this way. We shouldn't be at each other's necks or at odds in so many areas. God can give us hope today, not because of what we're saying, but because we're reading God's word together. Right, everybody? Oh, if we have the hope of Jesus today. I want to give hope to that teenager that all you've seen is your parents. You maybe seen a divorce. Maybe you've seen conflict happen in your home over and over again. Every teenager, every young person in this room, do you know that you can have the marriage of God? Yeah, I'm not going to get married because I saw what happened in my parents' lives. Well, God brings us hope today. Because you're here, you can learn the principles of God's word. God wants to rewrite your future and give you that legacy that you're meant to have today. All the old timers here, amen. Well, how can I learn a new trick? He can teach an old dog a new trick, right, everybody? We're ever learning today. We open up God's word, and God's not done with us yet. We're still breathing, right, everybody? In Genesis 2:24, it says this, in God's beautiful word, and for the reason a man will leave his father and mother, and he will be, somebody say, united with his wife, and they will become, somebody say, one. And when I read the word of God, it's something beautiful to me. It means that God invented marriage, and God is for marriage, right? And if it's God's idea, it's meant to grow. It's meant to thrive. The devil hates anything that God invents or God brings about. That's why he hates you as a Christian. That's why he battles against you, and he wants to make you lukewarm, and but he wants to make our marriages that they're in this parent pattern of just saying, oh, we're just staying together because of the kids. We're not going to get a divorce. We'll just put up with each other the rest of our lives. God wants you to thrive today. He wants you to grow. He wants you to have the best marriage because you're God's people, right? Amen. You should have the best sex as a married couple. You should have. I woke somebody up finally, right? You should have and when you fight, you should have the best arguments because there's redemption happening. If you're a single adult, you should have the best life because you're seeking God today. Amen. In Psalms 133, it gives the picture of unity. And David says this, how good and how pleasant it is when brother and sister, I threw that one in, live together in unity. It's like the dew falling on Mount Zion, where there the Lord bestows. Somebody shout blessings. Ever, forevermore. Amen. Life forevermore. It's the picture of heaven coming to earth when there's unity, and there's nothing like heaven on earth. Right, everybody? Amen. John Gottman also, he gave us four warning signs, really. You got to alert yourself. Signs that you're not fighting fair. And the socks are on the floor. I'm tired of picking up after him. The dishes were wrong. I caught him cheating. I caught her cheating on me. Adultery, abuse. And so let's see how it escalates. The first thought is this, extra notes. If you don't have them, you can take extra notes. The real spiritual people take extra notes that love Jesus here. Right, everybody? Four signs that you're not fighting fair. Number one, criticizing. That means you're complaining is different than criticizing. There's a critical spirit that can get on all of us. And complaining is like, you didn't get gas, and I ran out of gas. I'm on the highway now. That's kind of complaining, right? Now, criticizing and critical spirits like this, you never do what you're going to say that you're going to do. And there's a shouting match, and it leads to contempt, the second thought. And that's disgust, sarcasm, eye rolling, like, brother. Again, or mocking, like, oh, I heard that one before. And it gets to the point with condemning, contempt that I don't even like her. I don't like him either. And you just exist together. And it leads to the third one, which is defensiveness. And that's where you look at it where, this isn't about me. I'm innocent in this whole thing, and I have nothing to do. How many know in a marriage that it takes really two people in a marriage, and somebody's usually wrong out of the two? How about both of them being wrong? And that's why Jesus, that cord of three, and Alex Copeland talked about that last night, and I'll share a little bit more, and so did Lisa, about that, where you're saying, really, this isn't my fault. It's her fault. It's his fault. And you know what I've noticed about my disagreements in life with people? I'm always there. So I have something to do with it, right? Because I'm there. It was their fault, but it was my fault too. And so I'm not a spotless lamb, right, everybody? Everybody's has something to do with it here if they're in it. The fourth one is this, where it leads all the way to stonewalling, which is you tune that person out. They shut down. There's hopelessness. For all the men in this room that you've been shut down and you've been you've given up, I want to offer you hope again. This is where some men have even said, I'm done. I'm finished. Put a fork in me. I can't go on. See, guys, ladies, your man, if you kind of pet him every now and then, we're like dogs. Good boy. You did good today. Our tail will wag. And all you got to do is just give us a little bit, and it builds us and it blesses us. Do you understand that today? And don't let your man give up on you. Give him a little bit today. Amen. Because we don't want to say that we're done. Amen. We're not going to give up today. Every man of God is a warrior in this room. Right, everybody? Amen. By the way, everyone today, you look beautiful. Man, you're beautiful people at Living Faith. Amen. God's people. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Give yourself a hand. Amen. Amen. Don't fight with each other. Because when we fight with each other, we lose. You'll lose your best friend. Amen. Yeah, I won. I won that fight. No, you lost your best friend. You fight against the enemy and fight for your marriage today. Amen. Fight. If you're going to fight anything, fight the enemy today. We fight the wrong enemy. The Bible says that we don't fight against flesh and that means the person in front of you. That means your neighbor. That means the church member. That means your spouse. You fight against flesh and blood, you're fighting the wrong person. You unite and you fight against the devil. You roll down the window. I got that old-fashioned window still. Devil, get out of this car! But she's in there with you, right? Go crazy, cray cray. Open the window at your home if you're fighting. Devil, get in. The neighbors are going to hear you. I know that. Devil, get out of this house! Yeah, get them out of the house, amen? We're driven by the wrong motives, and we get this selfishness that happens in our lives. And, you know, there's nothing better than my pastor used to tell me, there's nothing better in a marriage than two servants being married to each other. Let me outdo you today. No, you outdo me. I'll outdo you. I prefer you more. And you're serving each other, and greatness happens in marriages. Right, everybody? Amen. We use the wrong tactics, and that's where we demand to be right. And again, and we lose the argument. In James chapter 1, James must have been married because, man, James, he knew about conflict and he knew about anger. And he wrote a perfect marriage scripture about fighting fair and how to fight fair. James on the big screen, James on your message notes, James on your outline on Facebook. Here we go. My dear brothers, take note of this. Every one of you should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why don't you say that out loud? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man or woman's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So you got to stop that car. You got to turn it around. And you got to change directions today. You're going the wrong way. Because James is saying, alter your course and do it this way. I'm turning towards the one with you right now that can bring the healing that we need in our homes today. If we do God's word together. Right, everybody? And so these are three I do's, the I do series. Number one, stop to listen. Yeah. In other words, you're quick to listen. You're quick to speak so many times, and we spout out who's going to be first, and we argue back. Irma is fighting a cold, but I'm glad she walked out. Amen. I was engaged in a text conversation, and she walked into the room. And so she's telling me, this is this. And she's kind of telling me already, hey, you listen to me? I said, yeah, you know how us guys, I can do two things at one time, man. And I made the fatal mistake of asking her something about the conversation she had just had with me while I was texting. And she said, you don't listen to me. And she screamed like that, real ugly. You're only half listening. You don't validate me or listen to me. You know, it's like. And so, you know, I was waiting in the shadows, you know, after that, you know. So I said, I'm going to get her back because she texts too. And she gets on, she's texting. So I come up to her and she's texting and I'm going, you know, I made sure I didn't say, hey, look at me, listen to me, because I wanted to catch her, you know, set the trap. And I said, hey, I was on the space shuttle the other day and I flew to the moon, you know, on the space shuttle. And then I go, did you just hear what I said? He said, yeah. You were on the space shuttle. No, I didn't say that. I said I was on the moon. Amen. You didn't get the details. So I reversed it on her and we argued back. You don't validate me. You don't listen to me. But how many know that's the wrong kind of listening? You don't want to do that. And Proverbs was written just for me because it's really about listening to the other person. In Proverbs 18:2, y'all can share this with me, but this is fool. Amen. Fools have no interest in understanding. In other words, I'm not thinking about what you're talking about. I'm thinking about the answer already. I'm going to give you the answer even before you finish shutting up because I'm going to be quick to talk. And he's saying, don't be a fool like that. They only want to air their own opinion. Yeah, and that's not fighting fair. Dr. Dwayne Weiss at Christ for the Nations taught us a course at Christ for the at counseling, and I never have used it, but I did remember, honestly, one of the things that he taught us, because it was so important back in the days that I was 20-something. And he goes, when you have relationship with your spouse, you have to always minister to them and validate their feelings. Because feelings aren't faith, but people do feel what they feel, and that's real. And so you got to come back and say, look, I understand that you feel this way, baby, or honey. I know that you feel this way, but I want to make sure this is how you're feeling, right? And we validate that. We validate their feelings. Do you understand that today? Because people do get hurt. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then one of the things that he taught us was this. When you're hearing something, husband or wife, you repeat back what they're saying. Look, let me understand this. I'm hearing that you're saying that you want me to kind of rinse the dish off before I stick it in the dishwasher. Is that what I'm hearing, honey? And so you repeat back to them what you think that they're saying. And if they go, no, it's not, we'll talk about escalation of voices in a moment and that sort of thing. But you'll finally repeat what they're saying, and you'll validate and you'll minister to your spouse when you do that. It's incredible. Nobody wants to look at me, but you're going to need this, amen? And I'm giving you gold today, amen? I'm preaching better than your amen, amen? The second thought is this, guard your words, what? Guard your word wisely, amen? Speak, you're slow to speak. In Proverbs 21:23, let's say this together on three. One, two, three. Watch your tongue. Keep your big mouth shut. Now, I'm going to quote this to my spouse. Next time you're arguing. No, you're not. I'm not giving you this. I'm giving this so I can understand and we can understand as people today, right? And so I'm not watching my wife's mouth, or you're not watching your husband's tongue. You're watching your mouth, amen? You're keeping your big mouth shut, right, everybody? And it will keep you out of what? Yeah, sticks and stones may break my bones, but... And words do hurt. So whoever wrote that was a liar. I've been hit with a rock when I was a kid and a stick, amen, running out of there. I thought he was my best friend, but he wasn't when he started throwing rocks at me. But man, words have hurt, right? They stick with you longer than the bruise of a stone hitting you, right, today. There's two questions that you should ask. Should it be said, and should it be said now? Because sometimes you need to just wait before it's said. And should it be even said today? And so you can never take back your words once you've said them. They're out there, right, everybody? One time, Irma and I, we escalated in an argument. And I got to the point, you know, and you know what? When I was a single guy, man, I was just this happy-go-lucky guy, all happy, never fought with anybody. He's a good Christian, you know, loving Jesus. But, man, when I got married, it was like, hey, I got my kingdom. She has her kingdom. And there was this clash. And we got together, and, man, ugly stuff came out of me. I never thought that was in me. Where did that come from? You know, I remember one time we were fighting about something. It probably shows how unimportant it was. But, man, I called her a psycho. I said, you're a psycho. I never could take back that word, right? It wasn't funny then. Believe me, I had a long road to hold on that one. Amen. They lit candles for me. Amen. The Santitos came. Amen. The best time to work on your marriage is when you don't have conflict and you're in love and you're holding each other and you're close. You work on marriage together. You ask your husband, you ask your wife, how am I doing? How am I being a blessing to you? Yeah. How can I be more of a blessing to you? And you press in. Well, I wish you would do this. I want this. You know, and there's peace there, right, everybody? Are you glad you came to Living Faith Church?
Amen.
Fights will come. No one is married to Jesus in this room. You will be one day. But until then, we have heaven on earth, our marriages today, our relationships with each other in the house of the Lord today. The rules for a relationship, extra notes today, didn't have enough room. Never call names. Never call each other names, amen? Don't call her a psycho, amen? Or anything else, amen. Never raise your voice. The escalation process, whoever can out yell, amen, is not going to get the upper hand. It doesn't achieve the righteousness of God when you do that. You won't get your way because you outshouted or you bullied or you shout. It just won't happen. Don't never get historical. I remember 1963. The day they shot Kennedy, that you did that, you know, you're up there thinking of all that, you know, and don't keep scorecards, let it go. Never say never or always. You always do this, you never do this, because that's not fair either. Never threaten divorce. That's hitting below the belt. And we remove that from our relationships today. Never quote the last one. Let's say this together on three. Never quote your pastor. Pastor Mario says that you should do this. And I want you to say the quotes that we do in our Have Fun series. That's next week. Quote that. Amen. Don't quote anything else. Amen. Quote. Don't. You got into it. Amen. I'm going to go eat chicken fried steak. Amen. Beef jerky. Amen. I'm going to eat that. You go ahead and take care of your marriage. Is that okay with her? You got into it. You get out of it. Okay. There's a picture that I found for you, and it's the emperor penguins. And the penguins survived the harshest winter in Antarctica. And you know how they do that? You know how they, the Nat Geo channel showed me this? They survived by huddling together. And they get together, and they have this shift that goes on. They shift until every one of them in that huddle get into the middle, and they get the warmest. And then they shift out of the huddle. So every one of them has a chance to be warm. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to huddle, get close, and that sort of thing, because that's the way it is. And amen. We're finished today. Amen. let me. That's funny. And so it's incredibly, you stay warm that way. And so I'm not as smart sometimes as a penguin. How about you? My resolve sometimes is, but what I've realized in the short time that I've been alive is this: it's a cold, harsh world spiritually, and things happen in my life that can hurt. And if I'm not with people and I'm not sheltered by them, especially in marriage, that it life gets really hard by myself. Do y'all understand that today? And if you're not married today, you still need people around you. Do you understand that today? That's why it's important to have relationship with people, right, everybody? And so Alex and Lisa Copeland at our marriage night last night, our Valentine's dinner thing, they gave this incredible illustration that I robbed from them. And they huddled together in that short mini teaching that they gave us. And they said, when you get close to people, and I wish, you know, they were up here doing it for y'all, but it would take too much time. And they said, you can get real close to people, and the closer you get, you can pull a knife out and stab them in the back, or you can hit them in the middle section with your knee, right? Yeah. He said, but when you get close to people, man, you get covered. You get that embrace, and you get the warmth of a soul next to you that's meant to be with you, right, everybody? It's important that we stay together, amen? And during conflict times, when we're humbled, that we unite again, and we come back together again, and there's nothing like making up again, right, everybody, amen? The Bible speaks of the wounds of a friend that becomes your spouse. And they'll tell you the truth, but they're not out to wound you, to hurt you, because they're going to tell you the spirit and love, and they should communicate with you that way. There's a right way to tell people that they're wrong, right, everybody? And they get wounded, but it's okay. It's a wound from a friend, and they're going to see you through. A hater will come, an enemy will come, and he'll wound you and leave you bloodied on the side of the road, right? But the lover will come and bandage you up, amen. They may wound you, but they'll help you today. I wish I had somebody saying a good hallelujah, amen, in the room, yeah. The final one is this: handle your anger righteously. Yeah, handle it that way. Handle your stuff, but do it right, the right way, right, everybody? Amen. You're slow to become angry. Let it go. Learn to let it go. In Ephesians 4:26, come on, you haven't had too much fun. Let's read this out loud, not out strong. 1, 2, 3, go. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are angry. And do not give the devil, don't even give him a pinky toe hole, right, everybody? Amen. Now, I can't control the sun going down. It's going to rise tomorrow, and the sun is going to set. How about you? Anybody like Joshua in the Old Testament? No one's like him, and I don't see anybody like that. I can't control that. Only God controls. But you know what I can't control according to this verse? I'm going to help you with the hard ones. I can control my anger according to the Word of God because I have God's Spirit. And if I control my anger, you go to bed and you're unresolved in that anger, you're angry, and you give the devil, according to this, you literally give the devil demonic place in your home. The devil is having a field day. And have you ever noticed when you've gone to bed because no one's arrived and you're angry at each other, that you go to bed and the next morning that you wake up, it's not fresh in you. It's more, it's bigger. It's gotten bigger. And because you're not starting out the day right. And until somebody caves, that's why it's just Ephesians knew that we would be here this morning and we would take that fighting position in our bedrooms back to back when we fight. And you get back to back, and you know, there's always a huffer, and there's always like this silent fighter. There's always somebody who's going to be silent, and there's always a huffer. Can I kind of see the huffers? Who's a huffers when they fight? Anybody? I'm a huffer. I'm be honest with you. I get up, she's mad, I'm mad. And what I'm, you know, I kind of move the sheets. I flip around like a shark, amen, just wanting to wake her up because she's the silent fighter. Yeah, you're pointing at her, and it's okay. And you know, I get up and go to the restroom at least 3 times at night because I'm 50-something now. And that's what you do when you're 50-something. But instead of, you know, making sure the toilet lid, I slam it down so it wakes her up. Yeah, you know, I jump back into bed, move the whole bed. 10 o'clock comes, 11 o'clock comes, midnight comes, 1 in the morning, I'm like that. And the silent fighter's next to me, amen. Yeah. Finally, somebody needs to cave and somebody needs to say, hey, we need to pray, not fight against each other, but pray. Amen. Because I sure don't need to get some sleep. Right, everybody? Yeah. And there's a better way, right? That's why the principle of the first lesson of pursuing God, seeking God, because if you're seeking God, it's going to be sure hard. You're intimate with Jesus. You're intimate with God and worship. It's going to be sure hard to throw that chancla at him, right, or her. Just you love Jesus and the anointing's on you. You're going to love everybody, right? Amen. You're not going to want to fight. You're going to want to love people, and you'll love your spouse today. If you're fighting, don't react in the flesh. That's why you pursue God. React, respond in the spirit. Yeah. I react in the flesh when I'm not full of God. You react in the flesh the same way. You respond spiritually when you're full of God. Do you understand that today? There's a precious lady. I'm not trying to air out laundry, but her husband was messing up. And she prayed. She just got into the prayer room. She prayed. She just prayed for 7 hours straight. She prayed because her marriage was that. She fought for her marriage. And you know what finally happened? Dummy in the other room, which is all of us, finally got, she's praying. And it convicted him. And he came out of the room and did the right thing. Right, everybody? Amen. And she hasn't stopped praying. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And now he's praying too. There's the elephant in the room right now. The elephant's in the room. And that's this. There are this way, all the way. Someone might right now is mad that they left the clothes on the ground or the socks. And that's been done and you've talked and talked. The messy car. But then on the other side, there's someone that was caught in adultery. Or they were looking at porn, or somebody got caught cheating. And so there's a spectrum here today. And I'm asking you, even at that moment, hurt and everything that might be because your feelings are real, that you would seek God, that you would pursue God. Because you're becoming somebody that's going to respond spiritually, not react in the flesh. You're going to respond by the Spirit today if you're pursuing God. Do you understand that today, right, everybody? So the final thing that I'm going to tell you is this. In times of conflict, I will fight for unity, not personal victory. You're going to fight for restoration and redemption because God redeems anything that he touches and God wants to touch your marriage. With God, all things are possible. God can heal your marriage. God can heal marriages in this room today. God can do the impossible. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes today. We're going to get on the same side of the table. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we're not going to be on opposite ends right now. We're going to get on the same side of the table right now. Father, begin to minister by your Holy Spirit to the church right now. Thank you, Father. Bring hope, bring healing, bring restoration, Father. I thank you for the forgiveness that's found because you forgave us of a great debt. Now we can forgive others, Lord. You're in this room today and you're saying, I want to grow. I want to grow. I've not handled conflict. I want to admit right now before God, I've not handled conflict the right way. I want to grow in God. I want to be the right person in my relationships today. Married, single in this room, young person, mature person in this room, you just need to know, you don't want to do drama anymore. You want to handle conflict right today. Would you lift your hands just slightly above your lap? You don't have to lift them all the way. Just receive this right now. Receive this mark on your life. You're going to be equipped right now to be quick to listen. The word of God never returns void. It's going to get planted, Lord, right now in a heart today. Now take that hand and lay it on your heart right now. Everyone in this room, those on Facebook, lay your hand on your heart right now. God will do something supernatural. You're going to speak slow. You're going to be slow to speak right now. It's getting planted right now. God's doing a supernatural work by the word of God. Amen. You're going to be slow to become angry. Thank you, Father. Do a work in me first, Lord. Start with me, Lord. It's me, Lord. It's me, Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. It's me. Do me first, Lord, before you do her, before you do him. Yeah, me, Lord. I need your help right now. No one's right, Lord. Only you are today. I'm realizing that, Jesus. How about you right now? Oh, if God could get a hold of you right now. Yeah, amen. Yes, Lord. God, Lord, take out that root of bitterness as I'm laying it on the heart right now. Yeah, Lord, let healing come in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As you continue to pray with me in just a prayerful attitude, your whole life has been full of drama, conflict. And you know what? You're to blame in this sense, because there's always been somebody that will take your drama and take your conflict, because he already fought the biggest battle ever on the cross 2,000 years ago. And until you give up the conflict in your life and the war that you're having, the war's already been won. Yeah, you're going to have battles. Jesus won it on the cross 2,000 years ago. You just need to surrender to him. Give up right now. Say, yeah, I raise the white flag. I'm tired of doing life this way. And God wants to help you to win today. Would you come into his family? I always want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior today. And this is that moment right now. You're far away from God today. God says, come close. I want to bring you in today. And God will do that today, but you must surrender to him. There's sin within us, and that's what causes the conflict right now. Thank you, Father. You're in this room today not to embarrass you. Right where you're at right now, I won't embarrass you. I'll ask that your hand is lifted. Say, that's me. I need Christ as my Savior. I'm far away from God. If that's you, I'll pray right where you're at. You pray right where you're at. I'll lead you. If that's you, lift your hand. God bless you, both y'all. Y'all are precious people. Yes, I see your hand. Someone else? Making sure. There were three people that lifted their hand. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. All the sinners that are saved by grace in the seats, we pray it loud enough too. If you lifted your hand, one of the three right now, the three of you, would you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear? Those on Facebook, you can pray the prayer too. You can pray. Send us an email. Let us know if you don't want to do it on the comment section. Let us know that you received Christ right now. We pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, come on everybody. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I realize I'm a sinner. I'm far away from God. Jesus, you built a bridge to a heavenly Father, my family and God. You made a way for me. You died for my sins and my shame. In the name of Jesus, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm forever changed. I'll walk with you, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord, yes. Amen. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for the salvation, Lord, in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, blessed be the name for the three people. Come on, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Come on, Jesus. Jesus, you win again. God wins. Amen. To God be the glory, right, everybody? There's a connection card that's found in front of you, around you. Let me know. Just write that in, and I'll pray for you this week. I've been praying for one that I have in my file that I've had all weekend long in my portfolio. It's on my desk usually, but I brought it with me today to make sure that I had it with me. And so you're important to me, and we pray for you. If you have a special prayer request, also do that today. Right, everybody? If you raised your hand especially, there's a Growing in Faith class that takes place at 9 a.m. It's found in our Student Center. You can be part of that also, right, everybody? I'm going to receive today's tithe and offering, but I'm going to